Well, I thought I might start with a wide apology. We talked earlier about trials and tribulations of life. We have a fantastic weather outside. Yeah, the rest of the world is watching the royal wedding, and you've got me. my talk today is called Making an Impact. As Christians, we use our gifts and talents to serve Jesus as he commanded. And in doing so, we use them to meet the needs of people around us. These gifts and talents come in many forms. Maybe a good listener, an entertainer, a musician, a doctor, a pastor, or one of those people who can just about fix anything. In fact, there could be hundreds. But regardless of what it is, it's something we have that we can use to help others. Now, at this point, there's a bit of interaction here. So I'm going to ask you a question. It's not a trick question, but the answer's not obvious either. So what I want you to do is I want you to tell me the two most essential ingredients that you would need if you were going to make a Christian. So in other words, if you took the ingredients, put them in a bowl, mixed them up, maybe popped it in the oven, you know, and you've got a Christian at the end of it. So I want you to think about the two most essential ingredients that all true Christians need.
Love, yes.
Love one another.
Okay.
And faith in God.
Patience.
Anything else?
Care in nature.
Okay, thank you.
Faith in God.
Now, you'll notice I've deliberately not said yes, no, or that's the right answer, that's the one I was looking for. And I've done that for a reason. Now, I'm going to read a passage for you. It's from Matthew 5, verse 13. And afterwards, you may understand the answer's probably more obvious than you think. So Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it lost its flavour? Can you make it useful again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a mountain glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Now, if I ask you the same question again, which I'm not going to, maybe your answer might be slightly different to what it was before. So if we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, how do we use these two ingredients to make a lasting impact on the people and on our communities, and in doing so, point them towards God? Now, as a way of starting to explain this, I wish to tell you a story that I recently read. In fact, I read it just before I wrote this sermon. High in the eastern slopes of the Alps, a quiet forest dweller lived above an Austrian village. He was an elderly gentleman who had worked for many years for the town council. His job was to clear away the debris from the pools of water in the mountain crevices that fed the lovely spring that flowed through their town. With fairly silent regularity, he patrolled the hills, moving leaves and branches to clear away the silt and the debris that would otherwise choke and contaminate the fresh flow of water. As time went by, the village became a popular attraction with tourists. Swans floated along the crystal clear springs, mill wheels were set up to run numerous businesses located along the waterway, the farmlands were naturally irrigated, and the views from the many restaurants were picturesque beyond description. This scene went on unchanged for many years, but one evening at a town council meeting, that dreaded town council meeting, as the budgets were reviewed, one of the councillors saw the salary being paid to the old keeper of the spring. He asked, "Who is this old man? Why do we keep him on year after year? No one ever sees him. What does he do? Is he doing anything for his pay? More importantly, do we need him any longer?" So by unanimous vote, they dispensed with the old man's services. Redundant. For many weeks afterwards, nothing changed. But in early autumn, when the trees began to shed their leaves and small branches snapped off and fell into the pools, they began to affect the rushing flow of the sparkling water. One afternoon it was noticed the spring water was not so clear. It had a slight yellowish brown tint to it. and with a couple of days the water had become much darker. Another week, there was a slimy film covering sections of the water on the banks, and a foul odour was soon noticed. The millwheel started moving slower, with some coming to a standstill. The swans left, as did the tourists, and disease and sickness started to spread throughout the village. Now the council came to realise their embarrassing gross error in judgment, and called an emergency meeting to discuss what to do. They very quickly decided that they need to re-employ the old keeper of the spring, and with a few weeks of doing so, the veritable river of life began to clear up. The millwheel started to turn, and life within the Alpine town soon returned to how it was once was. Now, I don't tell you this story because it's some idle tale. It's so much more than that. It holds with it a vivid and relevant analogy, which is directly related to the time we live in. What the keeper of the spring meant to the Swiss village, Christians mean to the world. We Christians may seem feeble, even needless, unimportant, and small to the vast world, but God help any society that attempts to exist without our influence. We, Christ's priesthood, are tasked with a role of influencing and impacting our world, which is not like the old gentleman in the Alps. Jesus wants us on the front line. He doesn't want us to live in isolation, separate from the world. It is impossible to truly live for him in private. We are called to be an outward expression of his principles. We are called to make a difference by influencing and impacting the world around us. Now, it's been said by a few influential religious people that the number one problem with the church that it faces in the modern world today is irrelevance. And that a large part of the objection is to disappointments. So how does it disappoint? Well, the church makes a promise to people, a promise to make them different. But sadly, this promise goes generally unfulfilled. And by failing to fulfil the promise to convert them, the church fails them. It breaks its promise. And in doing so, it seems false, something not to be believed. Therefore, it becomes irrelevant. And with it, so does Christians. Unfortunately, this is not a new phenomenon, and if anything, it's getting worse as time goes by. Put simply, the church and Christians have more or less lost their influence in the community, and there may be a number of reasons why. But two of them stand out above the rest. The church has lost its influence because Christians have neglected their responsibility to be salt and light in the world. As we have neglected to be with what God has called us to be, the world has decided to ignore us. But on the flip side, something else is also true. When we didn't and don't ignore God's command and are salt and light in the world, then the world doesn't ignore us. Put simply, when we are salt and light, the world listens to us. When we aren't, they don't. Christians are here to use their saltiness to season, to bring out God's flavours in the world. And if we lose our saltiness, then how will people taste godliness? We become irrelevant, thrown out and trampled underfoot. We are the light of the world. Our light allows others to see God's colours in the world. God is not a secret to be hidden away. He has made us light bearers. We should not be hiding under a basket. Need to be on a stand upon a hill to shine out. In the modern day world we live in, with its blue sky thinking, its fast pace of life, its in-your-face large and life images, salt and light seem a strange thing to use. In fact, it could be said they are something people take for granted. More appropriate as a motivation for today's world would have been to appeal to our pride. He could have said, "You are equals of the world," or "We are lions of the world," or even "We are the stars of the world." But no, he chose salt, the season of the earth, and light for us to be the light bearers in the world. So why these two things? When we understand why Jesus used substances, at least we start to understand how other influences work within this world. One of the first things we need to understand about salt and light is their very unique qualities and their enormous influence. Both are instantly noticed and have immediate impact. Both are difficult to hide or disguise. They are ubiquitous. So what do salt and light do? Well, salt, It's a crystalline compound. Its science name is NaC1. It consists of sodium chloride, which is abundant in nature, so much so it's called consalt. In the ancient world, it was once the most common substance known. Roman soldiers were paid in salt and revolted if they didn't get their ration. Indeed, our English word salary comes from the Latin solarium, which literally means salt money. And our expression that a man is not worth his salt is a reminder of the high value that salt had in biblical times. In the ancient world, salt's main use was to preserve food, especially meat. It was also a flavour enhancer, which is still very true to this day. But what did Jesus mean when he says, "We are the salt of the earth"? He refers to the fact his role in protecting and preserving food is the same influence Christians have in the world. They protect from evil, inherent in the society of ungodly men, or unredeemed nature are corrupted by sin. Can you imagine a world without churches? No Christian schools. No church-supported hospitals. No Christian social action groups. No Christian organisations ministering to those in need. Can you imagine what type of world that would be? In the same way, salt enhances the flavour of our food. It seasons the followers of Christ so they stand out as those who enhance the flavour of life within the world. We bring spice and zest to life. We are a personification of how life is to be lived. Those Christians who live under the influence of the Holy Spirit will have an inevitable influence on the world as saltless on the flavour of our food. Where there is trouble, we're there to bring peace. Where there is sorrow, we are to minister to God's, ministers of Christ, binding wounds. And when there is hatred, we are to exemplify the love of God in Christ, returning good from evil. Salt has also been used as antiseptic. In ancient times, newborn babies were rubbed in it to prevent infections on cuts caused by medically primitive birth methods. The use of salt to clean out wounds is a very effective method of fighting infection, even to this day. But I don't like the idea of being a newborn baby back then. That's not a good way to come to the world. As Christians, we have the responsibility of pointing out sin, but we also have the responsibility of offering practical healing and help. In fact, if we exert our influences effectively, we can prevent the ravages of disease and death caused by sin. Salt also creates thirst in all of us. There is an old saying, "You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink," which I'm sure most of you are familiar with. But how many know the second part, which says, "You can give him a salt tablet and make him thirsty"? Jesus makes people thirsty for God. As Christians, we can make people thirsty for a wonderful life found only in faith in God. Jesus not only said that we are the salt of the earth, he also said that we are the light of the world. Light is defined in the dictionary as a natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. It is a source of illumination. The presence of light in darkness is something which is unmistakable. In fact, it changes it completely. It dispels darkness. Christians in the world might be like light in the darkness because the truth of God's word brings light to the darkness found in our sinful nature. Light reveals to us the contents of a darkened room. It allows us and others to see the truth of what's before us. Christ's presence in the world is revealed from the darkness by Christians, who are to be the light of the world, awakening men and women to the truth of the kingdom's arrival, awakening society to the presence of God. Christian light also gives warning, like the flashing light on a police car alerting other traffic to its presence, or like a lighthouse gives warning to shipping of dangerous rocks. Christians warn of impending dangers to a careless world. When we read the Bible, salt and light are there in numerous passages. They're in Matthew, Mark, Romans, Luke, and some of the Psalms. So clearly it's an important message. But whom is this message meant for? It is meant for us. Yes, that's right, all of those who proclaim to be Christians. We are the salt seasoning and the light bearers in the world. Jesus said, "You and you alone." And let's be clear on this. It wasn't some polite request. "Oh, excuse me, do you think you could be the salt and light of the earth? You know, if it's not too much trouble. It's a command. If you are salt, then season. If you are light, then shine. We are supposed to make an impact. So how do we do this? So, now you're all asleep, I'm going to wake you up by asking you to do something for me. I would ask you, can you look in your Bibles and look at Matthew 5, please? So when you're ready, can somebody read just the first verse of verse 13. So it's just the first sentence of verse 13.
You are the salt of the earth.
Okay, thank you. Now, can somebody else read the first sentence of verse 14, which I think, depending on your version, would be about seven wheels and should end in world. So verse 14, just the first part. Somebody else could read that for me.
You are the light of the world.
Thank you. Now you will see from these two sentences it says, you are. It doesn't say like salt or light or as salt or light. It says, you are. It clearly commands us to be salt and light. The common denominator of salt and light is that they are unique. They are different. And there is nothing else like them. Now, just as salt is different to pepper and light is different to darkness, Christians are different to the rest of the people in the world. And that difference makes a difference. Have you ever noticed that people don't swear when you're in the room? Or they don't tell rude jokes? Or you go to the cafe for a coffee with them, as opposed to them going to the pub like they normally do when you're not with them? These are clear signs of your difference making a difference. Our difference as Christians makes a difference in the world. If we're in business, it would be called marketing. In advertising, it's called positioning. And in sport, it would be strategy. Where we would call it our difference is holiness. It is this holiness that sets us apart. It is this that makes an impact in the world. Now the Catholic theologian Blaise Pascal once said, the serene silent beauty of a holy life is the most powerful influence in the world, next to the might of God. So what else did Jesus say, we are the salt of the earth? And what did he mean when he said that if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. This is strange. This pure salt does not lose its saltiness. It doesn't lose it because it's a very stable compound. In fact, if you put a pound of salt in a container and left it for a number of years, when you came back, it'd still be a pound of salt. It will only ever be sodium chloride. And the only way you can change salt, or it could lose its saltiness, is if it is diluted or mixed with something else. The important message Jesus is telling us here is for us not to let ourselves be diluted by the influence of the sinful world we live in. If we lose our saltiness, then we lose our effect in the world. This is also true with light. Have you ever noticed with things that glow in the dark, like the hands of your watch, or an luminous toy you may have bought? When they spend time in the dark, they glow less, until eventually there's no light. So how do we stop it from losing its glow in the dark? Simply by exposing it to the light regularly. Similarly, if we spend too much time in the dark, we lose our glow. We need to expose ourselves to Jesus' light regularly. In fact, we need to do this every day. We need to pray and read his word to be influenced by his light. The more we do this, the stronger our glow is in the darkness of the world. Sadly, in places, the opposite seems to be happening. The world is infecting us as opposed to us affecting it. Remember what it said in Matthew 5, verse 14. The city on the hill can be seen by all. This doesn't mean that we have to make huge gestures to make a difference. No matter big or small, our light will be seen. In the same way, salt will be tasted. This is why Jesus said what he said, because he knew it would take great effort to hide either. Jesus gave us a clear message. He says, go out into the dark world and punctuate it with Christian light. Go out and change its flavour with our Christian saltiness. He doesn't want us to hide away under a basket, because by being flavourless or hidden away, then we fail to make an impact in the world, and in turn we fail our Saviour, Jesus Christ. He laid the foundations of the challenge in Matthew when he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." In other words, our influence should be worldwide. The entire world should be seasoned by our saltiness, and our light should have a lightning impact on it. This way, the authority and the grace of the Lord can be seen by all. Now, we aren't called to save the world, but God did call us to influence it. And like the old keeper of the mountain spring, who wasn't seen much, his role was vital to the survival of the village. So no matter how much we're seen, then our role as Christians is the same, salting and lighting the planet and influencing its survival. We aren't called to do everything, but we must do something if we are going to have an influence. If we can do something, then we should do it. So finally, I finish by saying, go out and spread your salt and shine your light in our community and in a world, in our world, because clearly they need all the help they can get. Amen.